Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
I'm really blessed to have children like we've got, you know, and particularly yeah, Phil, that's very right. Proud of you, son. Yeah. That's right. Of course, he maintains that all the other kids reckoned that he was a favourite, of course, and everybody had to, you know, look after Phil and that sort of stuff, but we're very proud of you, Phil, and your family. And well, look, this is a lovely church, you know. We've had some couple of people over in Adelaide, and they've moved across to Melbourne. And one guy, Raymond, and I said, look, go to Compass Church. It's a great church. And a lady told me this morning, she said, oh, look, we've met Raymond, and Raymond, you know, is fitting in. And another couple came over, another guy came over here, and he's been made welcome here. And I'm so proud of you guys. I think you're friendly, and it's absolutely wonderful. Give yourself a clap. Come on now. That's good. Well, bless God forever. That's absolutely lovely. And it is a privilege to be here, and I just thank God, you know, and we've seen a lot of things happen, a lot of wonderful, wonderful things happen, and it's a privilege for me to stand up and be able to minister and share the love of Jesus. As you were singing those songs early on, I sensed that the faith level in this church was rising. Now, something's happening here. Something's happening in your group, this group of people, and you're not like anybody else in the whole of Australia. This is a unique church, and God has got a plan and a purpose for this church to accomplish certain things. We've got other churches, they do what they've got to do, but I sense the faith level is rising, and you need to start believing for more. You need to start reaching out and believing and confessing that God is able to do more and then you're able to think about. God is able to do far more, okay? Many of you are not thinking high enough. Many of you are not believing enough for God to do things in your life. God wants to come in and help you where you are. Now, someone said that we only have this moment now where we're in. We don't have yesterday, it's gone. We don't have tomorrow, but we do have now. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And we only have now. And brothers and sisters, we have to seize the moment now. Okay, say now.
Now.
Now is the day of salvation. Now. All of you have unlimited potential in the now. Okay, forget about what's gone past. You don't have any control over that. That's lost in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Yeah. If you're a Christian and you've asked God to forgive you, God has washed you clean, and the yesterday is gone. It's lost in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and today is a new day. Today is a new opportunity. Today you can move in a new way. God can open something new for you. Now is the day of salvation. So start to make a decision. I am not going to live in the past. I'm going to live in the moment now. I'm going to seize that moment because that's the most important thing. God moves now. He moves in your life now. Pastor Phil told me that you've been studying the parables, and I felt to look at one of the parables here, and that's if this thing's going to work for me. I think it is. But I hope it is. It doesn't want to move. But anyway, I might have to get my esteemed brother at the back to come down and sort this out for me. But yes, anyway, nothing's... Hey! Thank you, Lord. Hey! Now, you see, now is the time. That's right. How beautiful, isn't it? Fantastic. Here we are. I've got, I'm not really techno savvy, but I just know enough to get by, providing everything goes right. So Phil told me I've been hearing a series on the parables of Jesus. So I'd like to share some thoughts on the parable of the wise and the foolish bridesmaids. Many of you know the story, but we'll rehearse it so that we... The kingdom of heaven is like these girls waiting for a bridegroom to turn up. Marriage in the Middle East was arranged by the parents, and the parents agreed that they could get married and made an arrangement between them, and they paid a dowry to the bride's parents. And then what happened, the guy would go back to his dad's place and build a flat to accommodate so that they would go there when they got married, and they would live at home until they were able to do anything else. And so when he finished building the flat and he got everything ready, then he'd come for his bride and take her, and they'd have the marriage. And as there was no electricity and lots of animals walking the streets, they had the job of lighting the way for the bride to get to the groom's house. The lamps were essential. Say essential. The lamps were absolutely essential. They had to have light on the road. They had to have an illumination so they could see where they were going. They had to be able to understand in the direction they were going, and they had to be able to walk past and step over and dodge different things that had been left on the road. When we're walking through life, there are certain things that come up, and as a result of that, we can walk into them, we can fall over them, or we can walk around them, or we can shove them out of the way. Life is like that. And there are things we can see in the natural as I'm walking up and down here, but then there is another realm, and that realm affects the things that you do. That comes onto your families, and there are certain spiritual things that happen in your relationships. And if you don't know, if you can't see, you wonder, what is the heck happening here? The Bible says we don't battle against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers that are able to come in and interrupt the very things that we think we want to do. And so it's one thing to see things in the natural and to dodge them. It's another thing to have spiritualize, to realize that this is the way God wants you to go, irrespective of good, bad, or indifferent. This is the way we're going to move, and we move in that direction, and God gives us an understanding of what it is he wants us to see and where we're going. Light, illumination, is so important. The light. There is light which is self-focus. We focus ourselves on doing what we do, and we see only what we want to do. We only see what interests us. We only see what we're involved in. It's a self-focus. And then there is another focus. That's a light from a source outside of ourselves. And oil in this story, as we look at it, is the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to impart to us a vision and a direction that we can see things, because the Spirit of God has come, and we're now getting light from another source that's outside of ourselves. It's not all self-focus. It's not me, 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 I. And if there's any left over, it's me again. But really, it's a different focus. And because it's a different focus, we can see in a different way. And the Spirit of God wants to open up before you some new possibilities. Even as I'm preaching today, even as I'm sharing, the Lord can drop into your heart right now business ideas, business strategies that can change the way you do business, that can change the way you do life. Because with God, all things are possible. If you can believe, Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing is impossible unto you. You're living in the moment. You're living in the now, seizing the moment. With God, all things, Jesus said, are possible. In the will and purpose of God for you, nothing shall be impossible. All Christians, if you're a Christian and have asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, you have light within you, which is the light of the Holy Spirit. But there's more. There's more. The apostles received Christ as their Savior, but there was, Jesus said, don't do anything until you be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you, and you get light from outside that is able to flow through you so that you can achieve the purpose that God has brought you to this earth for. We all have a purpose. God has got a purpose for each one of us here. You're gifted, you're shaped, you're made in a certain way. And so when we yield ourselves to Christ, the Holy Spirit can take those things that you don't even know. You haven't a clue what's within you. I spent a number of years shearing sheep all over Australia. And I didn't know anything else. And some of you sitting here, you've been doing the same thing for a long time. And for some reason, things are no longer working anymore. And maybe you think, well, I'm going to have to change jobs or I've lost jobs. That could be the greatest thing that can happen. Because what God can happen, he can now redirect you in another way, and he can start to pour his Spirit upon you, and you can start to achieve in a whole new way that in the previously, all you knew was sheep. And the Lord said, okay, Roy, now you're going to have to learn about people. I don't want to do that. No, I'm not interested in that. I'm a shearer, don't you know? I'm a mechanic, don't you know? I'm a teacher, don't you know? I work in business, don't you know? The Holy Spirit said, yes, but I have a plan for you now. And that means you're going to turn right. I don't want to turn right. You're going to turn right. I don't want to turn right. That's what happened to me. I said, I don't want to turn right. So my back went on me. And I had no choice. I had to turn right. See, God deals with us individually. And so photography came up for me, and it brought me in a whole different realm. So I went from dealing with hundreds of sheep to dealing with hundreds of people. And the dealing with the people prepared me for the next step, which is what I'm doing now. And if I hadn't given away the sheep, because I thought that was what I was. You're not what you do. You're who God has made you to be. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who I am. I'm not some orphan kid that came out from England. I'm a child of the living God. And God's blessing is upon me, not because of anything I've done, but because of the grace of a loving God. And you're the same. You're the same. And don't box yourself in because I'm this. I am a child of God, and God is no respecter of persons, and what he's done for them, he can do for me. Glory to God. Different. But some of you are going to have to leave your sheep. It's time you moved on. It's time you opened yourselves up and stop thinking about the past and all the rest of it. Okay, praise God for that. Praise God for that. But those filled with the Holy Spirit have a Christ emphasis. And so the challenge is, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? The parable is, and it starts off with then. Now that sets the whole context of this parable, and it has to do with the coming of the Lord Jesus. But I didn't feel to go down that track. I felt to look at it from a slightly different way. And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Okay, we understand that. No electricity. The only lights they had to go on the journey to the groom's house was the lamps that they had. Hands up those that got friends. The only lights they've got might be you. The only light, the only Jesus that some of them are ever going to meet is going to be you. We all have a light. We get discouraged, but when they look around, we have a girl over the road, she's in a wheelchair and she's got a boofy dog, which I take for a walk, and I've tried to witness to her and hasn't got too far, and I've been a bit discouraged about it. And then something happens. And she tells me, she said, "You haven't been talking to the man upstairs, have you? That's why this has been happening." You see, you think they're not taking any notice. Okay? They're talking, they're not using Christianese here, but they're saying, "Why don't you talk to God for me?" Because when you talk to God, something happens. I lay hands on her, I put my hand on her head and I pray for her and different things, but it doesn't happen quite the way. You know, but so we don't become discouraged. We commit it to God, but we all have a lamp. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. They were all virgins. They were all looking for the coming bridegroom. And they all had lamps. They all started with their lamps alight. But they all fell asleep waiting. They all fell asleep waiting. Brothers and sisters, when we've been Christians for a while, it is easy to fall asleep, to get bored with it all. And this is what happened to these precious, precious young women. Things didn't happen as quick as they wanted it to. They had it all worked out. 5 of them worked it out. "Oh, I don't have to do anything more because he'll come before midnight, surely. It'll happen when I think it's going to happen, surely. It'll happen the way I think it's going to happen." Wrong. Not going to happen that way. It's not going to happen that way. Because in the process is as important as the actual destination. Because God is working a work in you to prepare you so that when it does happen, you're ready. And that's why we need the oil. That's why we need the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. That's why that it's not enough to have yesterday's anointing. It's not enough to be yesterday's person. But we have to realize the Holy Ghost wants to fill us continually, because then the light that we have is not self-focused. It's from outside of ourselves. And that focus is something that can touch people's lives. And that focus can open up new opportunities. And that focus can open up a whole new realm. The difference between them was the spare oil the wise carried. See, Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Say nothing. Nothing. There's a lot of things you can do. There's a lot of things you're good at. And you work very, very hard to get there, many of you. And that's good. But there are some things, without the Holy Ghost, you'll never be able to do. There are some things without the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit, you can't do that thing. Because it doesn't come with your self-focus, it comes with outside help that can come in and that can open up new horizons and new vistas that if you didn't have the Holy Spirit, you wouldn't be able to see those things. The Bible says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. That means that, okay, you were filled 20 years ago and you speak in tongues, you've got a prayer language that you never use now. But that lamp that's going to shine into your world is a limit to self-focus. It's got to have outside. Jesus said, don't do anything at all until the Holy Ghost comes. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he's going to lead you into all truth. And so these girls, they teach us a lesson here. It's good to have a light, but we need more. Say more. I need more. Say it. I need more. Let's say we need more. We need more. We need more of the Holy Ghost. We need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more of the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. Why? Because we want to accomplish more. Because we want this precious Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into what he wants us to do. And at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Brothers and sisters, you can't live on the anointing of the woman next door. You cannot live on the anointing of your father or your mother. You cannot live upon what others have. You have to get it yourself. You have to come. Oh, precious Holy Spirit, I pray that you just fill me afresh and anew. I just pray, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'll come. Fill me afresh and anew. Fill me with fresh oil. I want this vessel to be filled. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen at work. I don't know what's going to happen in business tomorrow. But you do. You do. I don't even know what I'm going to do tomorrow. But he does. Why? Because the steps of a good man, the steps of a good woman are ordered of the Lord. And he delights in your way. He delights when you're moving in his way. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us. People can't give it to you, friends. They may love you, but you have to press into God yourself. God is no respecter of persons, that you have to realize God has got more for you. God has got more for this church. God has got more, and God loves you, and he wants you to come and press into God. I remember we went to a little church, a little small church, and there was a dear old man preaching, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And I didn't really know anything about the Holy Spirit. Nobody never told me anything about it. And so I remember he said, anybody wanting to receive the Holy Spirit, come after the meeting and I'll pray for you. So I remember we went in the back room and he got these old kitchen chairs out and we knelt down there and he laid his hand on my wife's head and she said, you got it, sister. And he laid his hand on my head and said, you got it, brother. And I didn't know what I had. I had a clue. Not a clue. He said, yes, you've received the Holy Spirit. I said, well, we see we receive by faith. You know, it's got nothing to do with how you feel. You receive. Lord, I receive by faith. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Anyway, then I was shearing sheep. And I've told you the story, some of you. I just, in the morning before I went to work, I was having this dream and I'm speaking in this different language. Hands up those that speak a different language apart from Australian. Isn't that beautiful? I so admire you people, you know. I so admire you people. I talked to a guy, we had dinner the other night, and I said, well, how many, it comes from, I think he came from India. I said, how many languages do you speak? He said, 8. I said, you speak 8 languages. I'm flat out trying to speak Australian or English. But I mean, and you speak 8 languages. How wonderful that is. But there is a language the precious Holy Spirit gives you, see. And he gives you when he fills you with the Holy Spirit. And I'm sleeping away and I'm dreaming. And I'm talking in this new prayer language. Oh, it was fantastic, you know. Then I woke up. It stopped. And I, so anyway, so I went to work and I'm after lunch I'm shearing away, shearing this sheep in it. And ya ba 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 so ba. Ooh, what's that? Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I started to speak in this language and my head was telling me, this is a lot of rot. And what's going on? What's going on? And then eventually I was convinced that what was happening was something. It was a language. It wasn't coming from here. It was coming from here. It was coming from my spirit. And I couldn't understand it, but and I've been speaking in tongues ever since. And it's been a prayer language that God has graciously given. And I tell you what, it's made such a big difference in my life. I didn't get it from anybody else. I had to press into God. And and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. This is where the story gets very, very sad. And it doesn't mean that anybody in this room has to be in the place of these other ladies, right? But what it tells us is that it's possible to miss out on God's best. It's possible to miss out. Maybe not miss out on a lot of other stuff, but you can miss out on getting in with that special group that Jesus wants to call to himself. I want to be part of that. I don't want to be outside. I want to be inside. And here the story goes. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. He didn't say, I've never known you. He said, I do not know you. I can't open the door to you. And then Jesus said this. He said, watch, therefore, watch, be on the lookout. He said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. We don't know when Jesus is actually going to appear. There's an end time scenario which is preached around the world and it's pretty wonderful. But the main thing is the faith level of you and those that are listening today. It's faith in God and faith in his word that taps into the unseen world and brings salvation. The end times message needs to create faith for living today. That's what I felt the Spirit of God. Faith to touch the hearts of people we meet today. The overall end times message is that God is in control of history. There's a day coming when Jesus is going to come back and sort everything out. But until that day comes, and come it will, absolutely it will come, all of us have access to the person of the Holy Spirit to make a difference today. Brothers and sisters, that's what it's all about. It's making a difference today. And sometimes the reason you haven't been able to make a difference today is perhaps you need to be filled and refilled with the precious Holy Spirit. We need to be aware that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But through Christ, you can do all things. Now, those of you that are actually in business now, and those of you that are developing creative ideas. There's a very, very interesting scripture here. The Holy Spirit and your work. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God. He's filled this man with the Spirit of God. He's filled him and he's given him an anointing, and he's filled this man up with the Spirit of God. What to do? Not to pray. It says, all manner of workmanship, all manner of creative activity, all manner of design, and all manner of creative ideas, all manner of those things, the Spirit of God has filled this man up and empowered him as he can empower you to open up your mind and open up possibilities that you would never see without the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit. And what he can do for him, he can do for you. He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom. That word wisdom is skill. Filled him with the Holy Spirit in skill and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. To design artistic works. To work in gold and silver and bronze. So what it's saying, whatever field that you're in, the Spirit of God can cause you to prosper and can cause you to have an understanding that goes beyond what others have. You can tap into the Holy Spirit and he can open up possibilities for you, the precious Holy Spirit. Perhaps it'd be helpful to understand the basic meaning of the Hebrew word translated as wisdom is equivalent to the English word skill. Solomon in Proverbs 4:7 tells us, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. He's really saying, above all things, get skill. Skill in what? Skill in living. God wants us to be skilled in living. In this case, God has filled Bezalel with wisdom, and this wisdom has to do with the responsibility that is given to him in constructing the tabernacle and its furnishings and utensils. One of the most beautiful mobile churches the world has ever seen. In fact, the Ark of the Covenant that he made is hidden somewhere in the world as the most priceless artifact there is in the world today. These verses show that God himself was personally and directly involved by means of his Holy Spirit, enhancing the natural and developed abilities of humans involved in his work. Bezalel and Eliab already had skill, but what God did to enable them to perform a function directly for him is that he increased their natural ability. He increased their natural ability. You and I have got certain abilities, but when the Spirit of God comes upon us, that those limitations are lifted and we can be lifted into a new area. We can see things that we've never seen before. Whether you're teaching, whether you're whatever it is, and obviously all manner of workmanship. A supernatural element was added to their lives. Increase your natural ability. Increase your skill level. Add to your skill level. You may need to change your skill fit so the Holy Spirit can increase and add to your skill level. I was skilled in sheep. But there came a time when God wanted me to develop another skill set that was people-centered. And so I moved from that into this, and I didn't want to do it as I said before, but in actual fact I started to develop a whole new skill set which was taking photographs of families. And I'd set them up, and mum and dad and the children and so on, and I'd have them all there, and I'd say, Holy Spirit, you are so creative. Look at the birds, look at the animals, how awesome they are. I said, show me, Holy Spirit, what's the best way to take this photo of this family? And I'd just wait, looking in the camera, 2¼ square, Yashica, I think it was, and I'd be looking into the thing, and the Holy Spirit would say, get the child over that side and put the father here and make a triangular pattern, whatever. And I'd do that. And the photos were unbelievable. And the guy said to me, he said, how come you take photos like this? I said, I pray. He said, oh, don't give me that right. I said, that's true, I pray. He said, you know what, any of these photos you can get into the photographic guild or whatever that was, I could take any of these and send them away from sheep to something totally different. Why? Because of the anointing of the precious Holy Spirit, that he had opened up a new door for Roy, who knew absolutely nothing. Left school at 13 and all the rest of it. I won't play the violin because it's ridiculous. Because God is greater than all these things. What he can do, don't say that I'm this or I'm that. Otherwise, get the violin out and just play the thing. Because that's past. Come on. Get a life. Build a bridge. Get over it. Come on now. Hallelujah. God loves you, friend. You're the most privileged people on earth. God has got a wonderful, wonderful plan for this church. Change of job. New skill fit so Holy Spirit can increase and enlarge your skill level. Holy Spirit can increase your skill level at work to fulfill the will of God in your workplace. All manner of workmanship involved in mobile church called the Tabernacle. And brothers and sisters, we're talking about a miracle of excellence. We're not talking about some scruffy looking thing out in the middle of the donga. We're talking about an absolutely brilliant design, everything about the tabernacle was so good, it was so excellent. The Holy Spirit is into excellence. The Holy Spirit is into perfection. And when he designs something, he wants you to be the very best you can possibly be. Why? Because God is the very best. And God loves you and he wants the very best for you. The Holy Spirit filled the builders with creativity and skill. Holy Spirit can do the same for us. Increase our skill level. And this was laying in my heart this morning. I'm nearly finished. It says, this is personal. Turn to someone and say, he's talking to you now. Let's all read it together. We've got eyes. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's say it again. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. How beautiful that is. You notice it's let your light shine. And we're talking here about the precious Holy Spirit filling us and giving us a light that we can shine on the things that we're doing. But not only that, but cause us to be able to do the things that he wants us to do. There is someone out there who's waiting for a miracle. They need God's touch. The Bible says that preachers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. No, it didn't. It says they, speaking to you again, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You say, well, I've laid hands on the sick and nobody's got healed. Roberts was supposed to have seen more people healed than any man in history, and he used to pray for many, many, many people. And he's the first to admit that I've had more people not healed than anybody. But I don't let what doesn't happen control what I'm going to do, and therefore I lay hands on the sick and I believe God to heal, and I'll continue to do that. I'll lay hands on the sick, and I'll tell you what, you can see a miracle. I may not see a miracle, but you could see a miracle. The Bible says they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and the Lord shall raise them up. Now is the time. Get your lamps filled with oil. Get your spare bottles filled up. People need our light today. People need a touch from the Lord today. Jesus will come to your home, your job, into your life in some way this week, maybe. All of us need to have oil of the Holy Spirit. I got a call from our senior pastor, and he said, Roy, lady's just walked in off the street and she wants to have a renewal ceremony of her marriage vows. Will you go and do it? So I go over to this house, and she's a very nice lady, and she wanted to have this ceremony, but her husband, no interest at all. He was just, he's a big trucky guy, you know, and talking about ceremonies and all the rest. And everything I said, no. I said, would you like a PA? No. Would you like this? No. So I just quit. I just went on and did what I was going to do anyway. So I just took the PA and all that sort of stuff. And but I wondered what was going to happen. There was about 30 people, and they're all in under this carport thing with outdoor stuff and everything. And I said, well, how am I going to do this? So I thought, the best thing to do, bring the PA in. Once I got the PA in, then I had the sound, see. I said, and friends, and they, oh, and they all sat down. So I gave that to the lady, the bride-to-be or the whatever, and gave it to her. And she called them all to order, and they all sat up, and then I went through the whole thing, and I made out a little certificate, and I gave him a copy of the whole ceremony and everything. And when I gave him the copy of the ceremony, this big trucky guy turned around, went all soft on me. And he looked at that, ooh, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? You know, and said, you don't know. You don't know. You can't take outward appearances. See, you just go in and you do it, you know. And they say, no, no, no. Well, you just say, oh, I think this would be better if I do. And just take the PA in. It's not over yet, by the way. It's not over yet, is it? Jesus came. All of us need to have the oil of the Holy Spirit to be filled. Jesus has come to me, and I did not have oil in my light sometimes. Sometimes it's happened. You get a call and just a bit too busy. Just a bit too busy. Maybe it's out of my territory. I got a phone call the other day, and it was to be a guy that I knew, and I counseled him 20, 30 years ago when he became a Christian. Finn was his name. And he said, Pastor Roy, he says, my wife is not well. Can you come down the other side of Adelaide? And he's nothing to do with my church. He's nothing to do with me. He's starting a little pioneer work out in the country. And he said, my wife's not too good. So I went down there and found out and went in there. And of course, his wife very poorly. So I prayed for her, laid hands on her. And God didn't choose to raise her up from the dead. And while I'm just talking to him, she silently slipped out and went home. But I was with him. See, Jesus wasn't there that time, but I was. And I could say, you better come home to my place. It's too far to go for your place. Come and stay the night with us. I don't want you going home in the country on your own. You come home. What would Jesus do? Hey, that's what it's about, isn't it? Lord, what would you do? was able to be there for him. And sometimes that's all you've got to do. You've got to be there for people. They know who you are. But what's happening, you're shining the light. Jesus said, they shall see your good works and they shall glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But if your head's full of yesterday, we can perhaps miss out. I'm so glad that I did go. And Jesus then spoke, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked. I was in prison. And then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? You got a feeding program this morning after lunch down in the office, eh? Isn't that wonderful, eh? What would Jesus do? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? I got a phone call from a guy in prison at Port Augusta, and he said, are you pastor? I said, yeah. He said, do you visit people in prison? I said, yeah, I do. He said, well, my son escaped from Yatala prison and I'm frightened he's going to kill himself. Can you go and see him? I said, I've never been to Yatala. Anyway, I went. And I'll tell you what, it was a terrible experience because I had to go right into the centre of that prison and I went through a door and clang, the gate shut. I went through another one, clang, clang, clang. And he'd murdered somebody, this lad. And I'm sitting in this little room and it suddenly came to me, if he turned on me, he'd just make mincemeat of me. But I was able to lead him to the Lord, that boy. But when I got home, it was such a traumatic experience, I just burst into tears. I put my hand on the mantelpiece and I started to cry and cry and cry. I'd never been in a situation like that. Prison's a terrible place, you know. But what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? You just never know what's going to come up, do you? You just never know. Jesus is coming to you today. What do you do to the least of these? You do it unto me, Jesus said. But I need to have spare oil. And you need to have spare oil. It's not enough to have an experience 20 years ago. We need to be able to tap in to the precious Holy Spirit today. Now is the day of salvation. I'm going to give you an opportunity in a minute to tap into God. Jesus said, I was in prison and you visited me. Jesus comes to us in many ways, at any time, at the most inconvenient time for us. I need oil for my light. Now is the time. Jesus will come to you at any time. Sometimes we step back, drop out for a while. Long time since filled up with spare oil to cope with the unexpected. Oil for now and for the unexpected tomorrow. Jesus will come to you at work. Why are you at work? Why are you at work? The only reason you're at work, if you're a Christian, is not for the money. You're there to shine light into your room, at home, work wherever you are. The Bible says that you are bought with a price. You are not your own. Whole different value system in the Holy Spirit. Particularly at the photocopier. When you go to do some photocopying and somebody comes up with a need, but I'm just too busy, I've got to go. Sleep on. Jesus just came. Bridesmaids all had lamps shining ready for the predictable. The wise girls had spare oil ready for the unexpected. Enough oil till morning to cover all situations. Bless God forever. I never know when Jesus will turn up, neither do you. And I'll see him in a need. I'll see him in a situation I come in contact with. But if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, sleep on. Sleep on. Jesus has been and he's gone. And you've been left behind. God, help us. If your light is shining, you'll see Jesus in the needs of people presented to you at work or wherever you are. It will need lots of oil, but there's more than enough. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you and you will be a witness. Notice only 50% of the party came prepared. Lord, let us be part of the 50% that are shining for Jesus. I want to close with this. In Acts 4:31, they're in a situation like you're in today. You're in a situation, they're in a situation like you are right now in this building. Right now at this point in time. And they started to pray. And it says, and the place where they were sitting, they were assembled, was shaken. And they were all filled, notice, all filled with the Holy Spirit. All filled. Say all. All filled. See, there's faith in this building to touch God. There's faith in this church right now to be able to reach out and to touch God and to draw down. The last time I was here, I spoke on making a demand on the Holy Spirit. You remember that? Okay, we spoke about that. And when you make a demand, God answers that. If you're asleep, if you're like a dopey kid, they're all asleep. No, come on, wake up. We want to wake up, don't we? Bless God forever. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me. Increase my skill level at work. Let me see miracles as I see Jesus in people I meet. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. I do need you, precious Holy Spirit. Say, come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Let's say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. I need you. Now, if you've heard some funny stories about the Holy Spirit, forget it. He's the most wonderful, wonderful person I've ever known. He's so patient. He's so kind. He's so loving. He's so powerful. He overlooks our faults and loves us just the same. He loves you today and he wants to empower you and give you a greater level of power. But we receive by faith. It's got nothing to do with what you've done, where you are. It's got to do with God's love being poured out to you. It's all because of Jesus. Let's all stand, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, we want to say thank you today. That we can come in the wonderful name of Jesus. And Lord, you said be filled with the Holy Ghost. You said don't do anything unless you be endued with power from on high. And today, Lord, we believe there's faith in this room to be able to reach out and to touch God. And we pray right now, Holy Spirit, all of us, just let's lift our cups up before God. Lift our empty vessels up. Lord, we just lift our hands to you right now and pray, precious Holy Spirit, come. We just welcome you. Come fill each vessel today. Come fill me, Holy Spirit. Come fill me. Just start to breathe in. Just breathe in, receive the Holy Spirit. We just receive right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Just breathe in, just receive. Lord, I just receive right now. Precious Holy Spirit, I just receive you. Breathe in. Oh, hallelujah. Kari alaba sanda. Those of you speaking a new prayer language, start to speak in that new prayer language. Kuri alaba sanda basuri alaba riyana bariyanda. Precious Holy Spirit, come. We need a fresh touch. A fresh touch, fresh touch. I receive the Holy Spirit right now. I just receive a fresh anointing. Lord, I just receive fresh oil. Fresh oil, Lord. Fresh oil. Fresh oil, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Fresh oil. I receive it right now. Right across this building, the Spirit of God is starting to move. It's starting to touch people's lives right now. He's starting to pour out His Holy Spirit. Yes, He's pouring out the precious Holy Spirit right now. Yes, Father, we love you and we honor you right now. We just give you praise. Just fill this precious people afresh and anew, that we might be full of fresh oil, that our vessels might be filled to overflowing, in that wonderful, wonderful, precious, lovely name of Jesus. I'm just going to hand over to Pastor Phil, and then I'm going to be open to pray for those that need a word from God today. God is going to bless and encourage you in the lovely name of Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Phil.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.